Buried is produced and distributed by KETR.org and is supported in part by its fans and listeners who visit KETR.org and click donate. Sponsorship opportunities for Buried are available from KETR.org/buried.
I'm George Hale, the host of Buried. In the last episode, we heard from the mother of Sarah Elizabeth Kinslow. Sarah went missing in May 2001 from Greenville, Texas. I met Louise Kinslow twice last summer. She and her husband John told me about some of the connections their daughter had to Waco Bay. That's the area of Lake Tewakinnee where Carrie Mae Parker lived until 1991. I was surprised by some of the connections between the two cases. We're going to explore some of them in future episodes. But I wanted you to hear directly from the Kinslows about the impact that a disappearance can have on a family. The impact Sarah's disappearance had on her younger brother Matt is ongoing and tragic. I think it's worth contemplating. There's plenty more here. Rumors about a drug overdose, a young man named Curtis who considered Sarah his girlfriend, a note left in the Kinslows' mailbox with information about Sarah's possible whereabouts. Plenty more than we could fit into one episode. So, we're presenting an extended version of these two interviews here.
We went to look driving around and passing out flyers for Sarah in the Quinlan area because I just had this feeling, you know, that she would be out in that area probably with Curtis. And so one of the places where we went to pass out a flyer, the clerk was really nice, and she's like, sure, put it right over there. And this customer in the store says, I don't know why you're bothering. I heard she doesn't want to be found anyway. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Who even hears this stuff is like that?
I said, yeah, who would say, think something like that? I'm like, she's 15 and she's my daughter. Yeah. And I'm supposed to keep her safe. It's my job, you know?
And so weird that someone would even know enough about it to comment, first of all, and then just...
And to say something stupid like that? But that's my impression of Quinlan. And when we would go put up flyers, and we would go to every restaurant, every convenience store, everywhere that we could, and put up flyers, and 2 days later, those flyers would be down.
Really?
Yes. Yes. 2 days later, those flyers would be down.
Everywhere or just that town?
In Quinlan, and really, we took them to Princeton and... I don't know where all we took flyers,
yeah.
You know, but especially in Quinlan, the flyers would come down fast. They would, you'd go back a week later and the flyers would be gone.
Yeah.
One of the rumors we heard was that she had died of a drug overdose and her so-called boyfriend and a friend had buried her.
That's the one that buried her in the woods. That's, rumor.
That's so interesting because I've heard a very similar rumor, but not about your daughter, but about Carrie. I wonder if people are mixing them up.
I don't think so.
So, is there any other place you've had a gut feeling about like that, or really is Quinlan the one?
It's Quinlan. Okay. That's where Curtis lived, was in the Hot Cove area in Quinlan. And it's probably equally as bad as Waco Bay.
Yeah.
Because it has some... trailer houses out there that were looked like some animal got on the side and tore off the siding of it and you know, the stuff was just hanging out,
yeah.
You know, of this from the siding, the insulation was just hanging out,
yeah.
Just or skeletons of trailer houses were out there.
Police went to question her boyfriend, and he lawyered up real fast.
Mm-hmm.
He's in prison.
Yeah, I've seen him for police messed up stuff, right?
So if, to me, if you're trying to hide something, or if you're guilty of something, the first thing you're going to do is lawyer up.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so they said they couldn't talk to him anymore. They couldn't talk to him at all because he lawyered up. Yeah. So
they went to question specifically on that.
The rumor. It's so
or
strange.
Anything about Sarah.
Yeah, or anything about Sarah.
And he's told different stories at different times when I've asked him questions.
So how, when's the last time you were in touch with him?
Well, let's see. He's up for parole this year. He's been in there over 5 years, over 6 years now.
Yeah, he's been in prison.
He's been in prison 6 years. And so it was some time before that.
And he answered your calls and like...
Oh, I don't call him. I just go see him in person, face to face. Yeah. And his dad has run me off.
Yeah.
Told me to quit harassing him. He didn't have anything to do with Sarah's disappearance, etc. Well, let's see now. I know that Amber's husband left the note in the mailbox one time. And when I finally got in touch with, and he actually got brave enough to contact me back when everybody was using MySpace, you know. So he contacted me via MySpace, and he had left a note in the mailbox and said, if you want answers to your questions, you need to contact this person here, Lisa St. Clair. And I did find her. I did contact her. And she admitted having been friends with Sarah, but she wouldn't admit knowing what happened. She was, that's what I was going to say a while ago when I was kind of stumbling over my words. She was dating, and I think she had a baby by a guy named Mash Waldrop. What he told me was that Lisa St. Clair had told his wife Amber, and Amber was good friends with Sarah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I knew Amber pretty well. I know what she's like. Lisa St. Clair had told Amber that what had happened to Sarah was that she had OD'd, and that Curtis and Nash took her out and buried her.
Nash
helped her helped him dispose of the body.
Did Tara do drugs?
She was doing drugs with Curtis, and he was, he had been arrested for drugs before.
Like serious drugs? Like ones you OD from? For her, I mean.
Well, now, one of our older sons, Jerry, was in prison several years ago, back in the late 1990s. And he was still there when Sarah disappeared. And through his different people he knew there was a guy from the Quinlan area. I'm not sure which little lake lot place he was from, but he had told Jerry that Curtis and other guys would get together and drug girls, and several boys would have their way with the girls. And, you know, I mean, Sarah was supposed to be Curtis's girlfriend. I don't know why he would be that way with her, but that's what he told Jerry. I can't remember what he said that guy's name was. It'll come to me later on, I'm sure.
Yeah, or you can tell me later, too.
If I can remember.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
Of course, yeah.
You know?
So let me tell you, too, and I don't know what this means, but in talking about Carrie, though, that I've come across almost an identical story. Like, it's so weird that...
Drugs,
boyfriend, but another guy being there and burying someone.
Yeah. Well, but then you're talking about the Quinlan area, and they will dispose of. I mean, I wonder if you went through there and you got rid of all the trees that were there, and you took a metal detector and cadaver dogs out there, what would you find? And if you emptied Lake Tawakoni, you know, would you find skeletons or any bones left? I mean, did the bones dissolve after a while?
After a long time, I don't think.
Yeah. So, you know, it makes me wonder because of the area it is, and drugs are so prevalent out there. I mean, if you want something, you go to Quinlan. You go to Hot Cove or Waco Bay or any of those areas, and Carrie had gotten tied up in that, and Sarah was starting to get tied up in that kind of stuff. So
that's interesting. I hadn't thought of your family's story being connected, but it really is in ways, you know?
Because of the area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of is.
Yeah.
So Sarah would be the same age you are, right?
Yeah.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah. What year was she in school?
Well, just 1 year. She was in public school. Okay. And she was in middle school, and it was 2000-2001
yeah,
school year.
Yeah.
And there was a girl at a party somewhere in the Quinlan area, and I think it was 2001, might have been 2002, that whose name was Sarah, that died at this party. She OD'd, and her name was Sarah. I talked to the police here about that, and they said they definitely checked into it.
And it was another Sarah.
Yeah. She was a little bit older, and I think a lot of people disappear from that area, you know, bad drug deals gone bad, or you know, boys taking girls out and giving them overdoses and having their ways with them, and then, oh, I'm sorry, I gave her a little too much, she died, you know.
So you mentioned the cadaver dogs, because I was telling you on the phone, did you hear about this? I talked to someone in Mesquite, a group that does mm-hmm. that, and they basically said that they would be happy to search the area.
Really?
Yeah. The only thing that they need is an invitation from law enforcement.
Right.
So I've called Detective Haynes to see if he'll meet with me or whatever, but I wonder if you should bring this up to
Philip Spencer. Oh, I definitely will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this why you made the appointment with him? About this, or you're
yes,
already
about this, and really, I was past due on following up with him because he and three other policemen give the rape self-defense class,
mm-hmm.
and so when I take that class from them,
mm-hmm.
there's several, you know, like maybe 20 women that take it at the same time, and so it's good to have a refresher course every once in a while to. So I do that, mm-hmm. and the last time I took the class, he was telling me that somebody was supposed to come and talk to him about Sarah's case, and I think he had said it was from the FBI or some organization, I'm not sure. Okay. So I never did follow up with him, and that's been a few months ago.
Mm-hmm. So you get along well enough with, can we say his name again? I already forgot it.
Oh, Philip.
Spencer. Philip Spencer, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you know that I've been working actually in the Middle East for the last 8 years.
Really?
Yeah, I just moved to America in September. So I've been dealing with all kinds of insanity, but not this particular type.
Right,
so I'm a little bit
right.
new to that world. But one of the things that surprised me a lot was the really negative relationship that Patricia has with the Hunt County Sheriff's Office. I don't know if I should be surprised or not, but...
Well, sometimes these relationships are formed by ourselves.
Well...
If the investigation is not moving the way you want it to
mm-hmm.
move...
Then you push harder than they want you to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, have you read any of her Facebook posts?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know she can be her own worst enemy.
Okay.
I love her, but, you know, and I'm not sure. If I were her, I'd probably be
She
worse.
Wants answers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Her anger. I can understand her being impatient. Because when you look...
Because they're not...
When you look across the United States, how many missing people are there? And how many missing people... There will never be any...
Long-term missing people. There are over 400,000 long-term missing people.
It's crazy.
It's hard to help when you don't have any clues.
Yeah, but I mean, you can ask people, you know?
Yeah, you can interview people, and
it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
I find, in Carrie's case, I find it just baffling that they've never talked to her ex-boyfriend, and, you know, until last fall, but like, or family members or people who knew her. I mean, they've only interviewed, I think, two people outside of the station the entire...
Even with Sarah's case, yeah, I think there's been a lot of screw-ups in it.
Oh, there has. I could name them. I could name them
but
where they messed up.
I can't stub my toes and close the door but not have some type of relationship with the police.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so weird how all these things rely on individual people to be competent. You know, it's like systems don't just work themselves. You know, if you get good guy, bad guy, you never know.
Yeah. Well, imagine that somebody saw Sarah in a car behind them, and they knew it was her. And as soon as those, and she knew the people in the car in front of her, and they turned around and looked at her, and the car sped off in a different direction, even though they were in a designated turn lane. Would you think that that was probably really her? If they recognized her,
especially
turned around, saw her.
Had known her since she was a baby growing up.
Mm-hmm. Since she was about, yeah. What, four or something, 4 or 5 years
yeah.
old.
This was a positive ID.
Yeah, okay. But it happened on Christmas Day in 2001. So they're working on a skeleton crew. Well, I didn't find out for another day or two. These people didn't tell me about it. They're our neighbors down the street.
I don't understand people.
Why didn't they tell us right away? I don't know.
Because they've got the same mindset as people out there dwelling.
Because that's where they came from.
Yeah, really?
Now, this Detective Waddle, he finally talked to Louise, and he said, well, no, that wasn't her. I had a phone interview with the guy that was driving that car.
A phone interview?
And we can tell by a phone interview if they're lying or not. Oh, don't hand me that crap.
Who's the guy?
It was a guy out of Princeton.
Yeah.
They had to track the car down. It was a what year model?
I don't know.
70 some odd, brown over brown. Was it a Cutlass or a Malibu?
And with a guy, more
but regardless, yeah. He had a phone interview. Said, "No, the guy's okay. I can tell by we have ways to tell."
So I went out there. I bought a new pair of binoculars, mm-hmm. a better pair than what we already had. I wanted to find my daughter, you know. Yeah.
I don't know what I would do.
People at Walmart are like, "You need binoculars?" I'm like, "Yes, I do." So I go out there on a very cold January day to Princeton. This guy's uncle, Massey, his last name was Massey, owned a wrecking yard in Princeton.
All these wrecking yards.
So I go over about a quarter of a mile away, and I'm watching it with these binoculars, you know. Never saw anything. I think I saw the car in there when I drove past.
Mm-hmm.
Parked out in a different area and walked through a woodsy area. It was cold that day, too, I'm telling you. And, you know, still using my binoculars, looking over that way, never saw anything, but I saw the car as I passed through.
Mm-hmm.
But it took them a while to find out who the car belonged to because it had changed hands several times just in the last couple of months before that.
Was the person someone that your daughter had a relationship with, or you? Or
no, never heard of him.
Gosh.
Never heard of him. And then there's these people in the restaurant in Quinlan said that they had seen her out there. I mean, not Quinlan, Princeton. Because
mm-hmm.
we had taken flyers out to Princeton once we heard about that. We flooded the town with flyers.
Mm-hmm. People said that they saw her?
Yeah, the people that were running this restaurant out there. A little L-shaped shopping center, and the restaurant was right here.
Did you ever find anything about that guy, who he is and what's he do?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's been so long.
It has, and his last name was Massey. I can't remember his first name.
But you never, did you think he could have had anything to do with it, or?
I never spoke to him. I never met him in person. But the thing is, if these people said they saw Sarah, they saw Sarah, and they saw her in that car.
Yeah.
And I made a terrible mistake when I was talking to the people at the restaurant, because the two guys, he was riding together in a pickup with this other guy. I think it was probably him. And so I followed them. Mm-hmm. And they came back into Greenville for something, or I lost them somewhere. Mm-hmm. But then I went back to the restaurant. I was talking to the people. Well, the guy in the pickup that was driving the pickup was their son. Okay. And so they just, they put up a wall and it was over with.
Wow.
Yeah, they put up a wall. But I think Sarah had been with this Massey guy, you know, hanging with him. And what was he doing in Quinlan? Making a right-hand turn in Quinlan on the same place that could possibly lead him to Curtis's place.
Yeah, coming up to 751.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yes. It's a lot to take in, isn't it?
What month is she going to see him?
May.
Okay. So December, seeing her in December is crazy. Okay.
Yeah, that was a good thing. Seeing her in December, it's like, oh, she was still alive in December.
You don't think it's possible she's still alive now?
I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine her being alive and being where she wants to of her own free will and not contacting anybody in the family, because she had two sisters and a brother living here at the time.
Mm-hmm.
People will say, you know, I saw her here, I saw her there, but it might be somebody who looked nothing like her. And then, what about 4 years ago, maybe, somebody contacted me saying that she lives in an apartment right down the road, right down from them.
And
I'm like, really? Okay, well, so she says she's Sarah. Yep, she says she's Sarah. Yeah, and so I said, well, could you take a picture of her and send it to me? She takes a picture of this girl that weighs like 230 pounds and sitting in a chair, and she looks like she's probably 5'9". Mm-hmm. She's probably more than 230 pounds. And I'm like, no. Well, she could have put on weight. And I'm like, no. I don't see that. I don't see that happening.
But why did she say she was Sarah?
Reward.
Oh, but still, it's so easily disproven, right?
I guess they expected us to send them money.
Just send them the cash?
Yeah.
You must attract the weirdest people.
There's more.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that one that sent all those tapes.
Me and my son will come down and we'll show you exactly where she is for X amount of dollars.
Oh, yeah, this woman sent us, she saw us on Montel.
Oh, yeah, I saw that you were on that show.
Yeah, she saw us on Montel. And they replayed that segment 3 or 4 times, or they replayed it probably 3 times. So this woman, you know, she calls us, and she's like, I saw her, and I'm, is it okay if I do a reading and I send you some tapes? And I'm like, sure, why not? So she sends us these tapes, and she's like, she sent us 5 tapes, 2-sided cassette tapes.
What?
Of her rambling on and on and on.
Well, she's supposedly in a trance.
Where she's supposedly, Sarah's talking to her and telling her where she is, and the day that she went missing, this policeman picked her up, somebody picked her up and took her out in a remote area in a barn and kept her out there for days and days, and where nobody would hear her screams. And stupid, most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I've got proof that could not have possibly happened.
And her son would come down here and show it takes exactly to the place, but would have to pay for their boat to
Oh, and their flight.
And they're flat.
And her son always travels with her.
$5,000 to move and other crap like that.
We have to put them up in a motel. Get all kinds of kooks are out there.
The kooks come out of the woodwork.
They do.
I'm sure, yeah.
When you have something like this going on, and you just have to weed through them.
It's like a side effect of doing what you're supposed to do, which is make you yourselves very contactable and, you know.
Yeah.
So and unfortunately, you're going to...
Right, and then there's those people in Princeton that thought that they picked up a girl on the side of the road that had a suitcase, and her boyfriend had kicked her out, and so I went out there and talked to them, and the girl finally showed up, and it's like
different girl,
mm-hmm. Totally different girl.
Well, we'd also,
but her name was Sarah too.
We had been in contact with this company, Iron Mountain, or something like that.
Something like that,
and they were all hot. To run, they're going to come down here and
use drones,
ground penetrating radar, the whole nine yards. And right about
3 days.
Yeah, about 3 days before all this supposed to happen, they said, and you'll need to forward us
$30,000 as a down payment.
Yeah, down payment.
So, and then you can give us.
What happened to Carrie's family?
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's the same outfit. Probably the same thing. Well, yeah. Friend of mine at work found them. She was looking for somebody with ground-penetrating radar who would look for a missing person.
Yeah.
And so this girl at work contacted them for me. And so I started talking to them back and forth. And they're like, you know, wouldn't give us a price, wouldn't tell us, give us any information. Don't worry about it. We've got it. What does that sound like to you? We're going to cover it.
Yeah.
We're
going to cover it.
Benevolence to the family.
Yeah. Expect some family to have.
And then the Thursday before, they were supposed to come down on Monday or Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Send us a check for $30,000. What?
Down payment.
What?
And there's
down payment. No guarantee.
Of course.
They'll only be here about three, 4 hours.
No, it would be longer than that. They were going to look for Sarah and Carrie both.
Oh, they were together.
Yeah, they were going to look because I brought up looking for Carrie too, because if somebody's going to come down then and do it for Sarah, why wouldn't we want them to look for Carrie at the same time?
Of course. Yeah.
Of course. You know?
Where did you want to look for Sarah though?
In the woods and... Tewakini State Park.
Why is there?
Because that's so close to Waco Bay. It's right next door to it. And there was a place on Curtis's grandparents' property that from satellite view a few years ago, you could see a rectangular lump in the ground towards the back of the property. And I'm like, I could put a body in that.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you ever contact his grandparents?
No, his grandparents have passed, I think.
Uh-huh.
But in the trailer house that was there, and the fence is gone, the sheet metal fence. The trailer house is gone. Curtis's parents have it at their place now. They have moved their stuff into that trailer house because it was bigger than the one that they had.
So there's a different person who owns the property?
Well, the Q Center for Missing People went on that piece of property after getting permission and searched with their dogs. The only thing is, you know, they had to get the permission from the new owners, and after a while it struck me that the new owners were probably Curtis's parents.
Oh. Were they?
I don't know, but that's what I suspect. I highly suspect that.
We can find out easily, I think.
But now they say it belongs to somebody else named Joe. So I don't know, but...
But they checked.
Yeah, they did. They looked, but there's another thing. The area that I was interested in was piled up with all kinds of tree limbs and leaves and all kinds of debris. And not just in an area that was this wide and 6 feet long. Mm-hmm. It was in an area that was 15 by 15. And that whole, so you couldn't get close.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't really get real close into that. That seems to me to be suspicious. So we Patty tries to help me when she can, and I try to help her when I can. If I hear anything or if I come in contact with someone that might help her, then...
Yeah, that's wonderful.
It's
very clear she feels the same way, because, I mean, she, you know, has been nothing but helpful and cooperative, obviously. But she's definitely seemed willing to sort of suspend all that if it meant that...
We could help find Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel the same way. You know, if we could find one or the other, it would be a miraculous break.
Yeah, of course.
For one of us. And I would feel almost as happy as she would if she found Carrie.
Yeah.
I just really, really close, really close to being as happy as she would be.
Yeah. I mean, any just breakthrough at all for...
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would love if that body story ended up being helpful and it's not just some delusion this guy had.
I contacted every missing organization that I could find. Mm-hmm. I got on the internet and found everybody I could find and registered. And some of them you had to get, you know, her case number and all that. So I have a piece of paper still that has her case number on it.
Yeah.
And you have to have that information, and sometimes they had to contact the police to make sure, you know, to get her registered and give them, you know, then you have to repeat the story over and over and over and over again. But that's why when you Googled her, you found her.
Exactly.
You found a lot of her.
Yeah.
And it's because I got on the internet and registered her with every one of those places.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, and then it spreads because you've got the Charlie Project, mm-hmm. which they got the information from somewhere else. And then you've got different blogs or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
18-wheelers. 18-wheel angels or something like that.
What do they do?
That's from, they have pictures of missing kids on their trailers.
Why doesn't everyone do that?
Yeah, that is from the Kelly Jolkowski's group, the Jason Project. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called?
It's something like that, Jason Project.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
and
smart.
Yeah, she's the one who implemented that. Yeah, and they're good pictures.
Yeah,
they're
smart.
Really good pictures.
Why doesn't everyone do that? Every trailer. No one cares. Unless it happens to you, no one thinks.
Yeah, yeah, they should.
Of course, yeah, I know.
Because all across the country, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Like, you go on some of these trucks. I used to drive an 18-wheeler.
Oh, really?
So you could actually see the... Well, we call them lot lizards as prostitutes. Underage girls going across the parking lots of these truck stops.
Uh-huh.
Where their pimp might be sitting up there in front waiting for them to come back out and turn up tricks.
Right.
There's child prostitution going on all the time, all over the United States.
Yeah, prostitution rings. And they'll take runaways.
Well, yeah. Easy.
Yeah. Easy targets. Yeah. So something like that could have happened to Sarah, but I rather believe that Curtis was involved in her disappearance because she was with him. That is a verified fact, and that's not my opinion. That is a fact because she was seen on the video.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, with him.
And he didn't even deny that it was him the first, right?
Oh, no. The first time, so you saw what that said.
I saw that, yeah.
He said it was him. Yeah, he said it was him, but that was Michelle. That wasn't Sarah, that was Michelle. Well, I'm sorry, but I do recognize Sarah. And I recognize the way she walks because she would take long strides and she'd swing her arms really big when she walked. You know, it's something you know about your child, you recognize immediately. In the video, though the video was very, very poor quality.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was her. So I asked him about that, and he said it was Michelle. And I asked him about 2 months later, and he said that wasn't him. Well, which was it? Was it you or not?
Yeah.
You said it was.
Is it obvious from the camera or from the video that's him, or do you just know that because he told you?
The police officer that showed me the video, he said, I think that's Curtis. Do you think that's Curtis? And I said, you know, I can't be 100%. Mm-hmm. But on Sarah, I'm 100%.
Yeah.
I knew it was her because of the way she walked. She had cut her hair short.
Recently, before she went missing? Or after?
After she went missing, she cut her hair short and dyed it brown. Which if I was a 14-year-old girl and I was going to run away from home, you know what I'd change first? I'd change my hair.
Yeah.
I would change my hair.
Do you think she wanted to run away from home?
I think it was her plan. I think she planned it.
Why is that? Just teenage angst?
Teenage, yeah. Just rebellious. Mm-hmm. You know, she'd gotten to where she wasn't coming home and being at home when she was supposed to, and I wanted her home before dark every night mm-hmm. because it's the parents' job to protect the children. You know, and so I wanted her home before dark, and sometimes she'd come in right after dark, and the last about 2 weeks before she ran away, she and I really had it out over that. And she ran into her room, and I don't think Alzheimer's, I'll never forget. She ran into her room and started jamming her backpack with clothes, and she is leaving. I'm like, no, you're not. She said, you wait. She said, I will. I will leave. And the hair on the back of my neck stood up because I knew she meant it.
Gosh, that's horrible.
Yeah, I knew she meant it.
Wow.
So, yeah, so, and then she did. And it was with Curtis because he was in the video with her. And the police officer said, that's Curtis.
Gosh.
And the police would not go question the people at the gas station.
That's where they screwed up again.
That's one of them, yeah.
They wouldn't even do a photo lineup.
No, they said they wouldn't do a photo lineup of him.
Too much to do that.
I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Let me take a picture of him and some other guys and we'll do a photo lineup. I will do it, you know? I will do it.
The detective at that time said it costs too much money to do a photo lineup.
Yeah.
What does it cost at all? Hiring actors or whatever?
Taking pictures? Just picking random pictures of people? I don't know.
They did a photo lineup. Criminals in jail up there already.
They did a photo lineup for somebody else with him in it.
Yeah.
For something else. Why?
So like I said, there's another screw up.
So you're not saying they're perfect. I get it. Yeah, but you definitely have a better relationship with them than Carrie's family.
Oh yeah. Well, there's one of them I'd not have a well relationship with because he's the one who wouldn't do the lineup.
That's the end. Yeah.
Yeah. And but he is actually driving and giving tickets now because that's what he wanted to do. Almost got a ticket from him one day, speeding ticket. And I'm like, oh hi, you remember me? He took my license, and he's like, yeah, how are you doing? I said, I'm not doing very well. My daughter's still missing. And he went back to his car. I'm like, what did I just do? What did I just do? I'm going to double ticket. Yeah, I've really got a ticket. But he didn't. This was William Cole.
So he was a detective and then went back to being a cop?
Yeah.
It's rare, isn't it?
Still Detective Cole.
So.
That's what he wanted to do, and that's what Petrie wanted to do. Yeah.
That's what people should be doing if they want to be detected.
The one that was ahead, the head of the youth department, actually, he did the same thing. The one that was on Sarah's case before for years. Hmm. And he went back to being a
regular beat cop.
Yeah, beat cop.
Hmm.
Because that's what he wanted to do. When you still had your roofing company, we got a phone call on the roofing phone number that I thought it was Sarah.
Yeah.
What did it say?
Just, why would I forget? I don't remember what she said, but it was a female voice, sounded just like Sarah. I forget what she said.
But it was soon after.
It was a couple of months, probably. Probably a couple of months.
Do you think Sarah has friends who would know where she went?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned sort of on the phone, people just...
They close up. There was only one girl that didn't close up to me.
What?
Yeah. Julie.
Yeah, Julie, but I don't think Julie had anything to do with it.
Julie didn't have anything to do with it.
I didn't mean that, just rumors and,
you know. Oh, rumors?
It's just weird that people would close up. I mean, I guess they were young back then, immature maybe.
They were helping her escape us.
Yeah. So they don't help you? They don't talk to you?
Oh, no.
Why? I mean,
they were saving her.
Did she tell them bad things about you or what?
I don't know. I don't know, but, you know, on that one, that Huffington Post thing, mm-hmm. Did you ever read the comments?
You told me about them, but no, I didn't.
Yeah,
the
comments are really interesting. Some people said some really ugly, hateful things, and I told you about them saying that Sarah always had bruises all over her from us beating her and everything, and I'm like, what? I had three other kids at home at the same time, mm-hmm. And if we had beaten her, they would have been the first ones to speak up.
Yeah.
You know, none of our kids had bruises all over them except Matt, and that was from flipping over his bike. And yeah, yeah. How many times did we take him to the ER from?
You'd think he's getting parental abuse.
Yeah, he flipped over his bike one time. He hit a curb, flipped over his bike, and landed on a broken beer bottle. With his chin, and he had an open flap.
So what do your other kids think about all this? There are no people and stuff?
Well, actually, we have six kids altogether. The oldest one is old enough to be your dad.
Yeah, you told me you have a great-grandchild.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, you know, like I said, our second son was in prison when it happened. And he's the one who talked to this guy that was out from that area, you know. And our oldest daughter was in the process of getting married. Mm-hmm. And she got married a month after Sarah disappeared. Hmm. I mean, you know, the wedding had been planned for 9 months, mm-hmm. And you can't just call it off.
Yeah.
So
yeah, she
was supposed to be in one of the bridesmaids. Yeah, we had her dress and everything, you know.
What was that wedding like?
It was real hard for me. Now, Jill wasn't real close to Sarah, but she was able to get away from it.
Yeah.
So it didn't affect her as much as it did those of us who were left at home.
Yeah.
Rebecca was closer to Sarah. She was 3 years older, and she's the one who gave her advice and where to meet the people that were picking her up.
Yeah.
Good sister, you know.
How does she feel about that?
But our youngest son, Matt, was only 11. Sarah was 14. He was 11.
I think it affected him more than
that. It affected him terribly. And Rebecca too, John, because... Yeah, well, it affected Rebecca really bad too, because it just messed him up, both of them. It messed him up. He's in prison.
Matt?
Yeah.
What for?
Drugs. Basically, but it's not for drugs. But he thought he saw her. He was in a motel hanging out, and he was high on something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He thought he saw her, and he started, and he thought this black guy had her and was dragging her around with him, and he started knocking on doors and kicking doors in at this motel. Called the police. And he hit him in the jaw.
Oh.
Yeah, he attacked the cop.
Why?
Hit the cop.
Why? Did he do that? Is he just being high?
Yeah, he's like, help me find her, help me find her. I saw her, I saw her.
He went to jail for that or for something else?
Yeah, he went to jail for that, prison for that.
For how long?
They gave him 10 years.
For that?
Oh, he had a knife in his hand. Sorry, he had a knife in his hand that he was not using it. On a cop, he just had it in his hand. He wasn't trying to hurt anybody with it.
Yeah.
But it was already in his hand when the cop came up to him. Yeah, and I'm not trying to defend him or his actions. I'm just giving you the facts.
But obviously no one condones punching policemen in the face. But,
no.
But gosh, I mean, that's so...
Yeah, it messed him up. It messed him up bad.
He screwed up. He's paying the price.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
You know, I mean, he just...
I can't defend him.
No, but he was very close to her.
I wouldn't defend assaulting a police officer, but I could maybe understand mitigate the circumstance could be slightly mitigating, I would think. And maybe 10 years is a very long time.
Actually,
they acted like they gave him a good deal.
Gosh. They gave him plea bargain, whatever.
Mm-hmm. 10 years.
10 years, and he and they said, are you gonna get, you know, you could get 25.
Yeah, but...
And so when does he get out?
If he makes parole, he'll get out next year. Mm-hmm. If he makes parole.
It's one of the things I've learned a lot about this with Carrie is just how one thing, like, can just impact everyone. Like, ricochet or whatever.
Yeah.
It is, like, reverberate.
Yeah. He saw her the Friday after she left. Or was it Friday week? He saw her.
Where?
Over on Cornelia Street, north of the middle school, that way.
He hollered at her, and she
cussed at him and told him to leave her alone. Yeah. She had a bag of something, like a paper bag of something. That might be where she was stashing her clothes, at that girl's house. But she lived on Cornelia at that time, and she's moved since then. But they had some kind of little storage or something behind it, is what Matt said. And he saw her, and she was walking towards a white pickup, and she got into the white pickup.
And Detective White?
John White cussed him out over the phone when Matt called him and told him.
Said he was lying about it and everything else.
Yeah.
Why? Why do you think that?
Because he hates kids. John White? He hates kids.
He hates kids. I mean, I don't love kids, but I like them all right. He's still around?
Oh, yeah. They don't. I tried to file a thing on it, and I told the chief of police what happened, and he goes, "Yeah, you can file a thing on it." I said, "I'll fill out a deal," and I filled out a thing, and it's, of course, his word against mine. Who wins?
Aren't those calls recorded? I don't know. I don't think they keep them long, but I think that they keep...
I don't know.
You know, for a certain period of time. And stuff. I have not heard as much about the Greenville PD... as I have of the Hunt County Sheriff's Office.
No doubt. They're not great, but maybe not as bad as the Sheriff's Department.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know why. Patty told me that, like, Detective Haynes hasn't returned a call from her in, like, actual years or something.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Which is just unthinkable to me. Whereas you can call the detective in your case, and he'll just meet
you. And he called me back. I called... Which day was it? I called you and Mike and him all on the same day. Uh-huh. And he called me back that evening, too.
Yeah, and scheduled 2 days later.
He seems to care.
No, it's...
Yeah, the next week, over the weekend.
Next week.
But still.
Yeah, next Tuesday.
I'd be curious if Haynes calls me back ever. Yeah, this is...
I went to the Sheriff's Department when... what was that? Don Anderson?
Yeah.
Was the sheriff... Oh, and because I thought that Sarah was out in the Quinlan Hot Cove area, mm-hmm. I said, you know, they sell drugs out of Curtis's house. I said, it might behoove you, if you want to catch a drug dealer, to put a camera up in that area. Mm-hmm. Oh, that would cost too much. And I said, well, you know what? I said, Sarah is probably over there. Mm-hmm. And that would be a way to find her. It would cost too much. The camera is worth more than a human.
Yeah.
Out in that area, people would just tear it up.
I don't know, yeah.
I mean, I didn't mean to put it ground level, you know. I've sat out there at 2 o'clock in the morning mm-hmm. watching his house more than once.
People come and go?
Yeah, people come and go. Oh, yeah.
You really don't have the money in a small town budget.
Mm-hmm.
To designate just a missing persons division. So mm-hmm. just anybody and everybody works on it, and nobody's really got any experience.
Well, they do have them. Now they do have.
Here?
Not what you really need, though.
Well, no, I mean, it's Philip.
Yeah. No, he's just
Philip Spencer.
He's in this position.
Yeah.
And he's going to do what he can, same as all these others.
When he hears something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you really don't have a missing persons division down here.
Yeah.
At least that's my feeling of the situation. So
We've looked at the quarry out in the Quinlan area, looked out, gone and walked around a significant amount of time out there, looked out there.
Nothing.
I guess, no, but I would
really
like to go.
The takeaway, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a real good place for our body to spirit.
You know, I mean, I have spent a significant amount of time making flyers, changing flyers. People identified her at that gas station because of a new flyer I had just made. Mm-hmm. And on the flyer, I had taken her hair, cut it short, and made it brown.
Nice.
And they're like, yeah, that's her right there. I'm like, they're all three the same person.
Yeah. But
they are?
In the video. Yeah.
That... yeah. And in the video, her hair was short and brown,
right.
Which is what I would have done.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like, yeah. I didn't realize how convinced you were that you wanted to run away, at least for, you know, at least for a time.
Yeah, I think, you know, Amber had some of her clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I think Danielle probably had some of her clothes, and she would let the other girls borrow this or borrow that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I would see something on Amber, I'm like, where'd you get that shirt?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's Sarah. She let me borrow it. You know?
I guess girls do that.
Yeah, they do.
But it was funny, when Sarah went missing, they took all these kids down there and gave a polygraph test.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no. Amber didn't take one.
Yeah, Amber didn't take one because she was too stressed out, I suppose.
She was too tired. She'd been up all night for two nights.
Curtis Bill took one. He failed it.
He failed it. He failed the polygraph. When they said, do you know where Sarah Kinslow is? He failed it.
And they said, well, he failed it because he's too stressed out.
No, because he sneezed.
Yeah, he sneezed or
whatever. He sneezed.
Oh, don't hang that crap.
Yeah, well, then ask him again, you know. It's like, that's what he told me. He lied to me about his age when I met him in front of his mother. In front of his mother, they were standing on our front porch. And when I asked him, she looked down and shuffled her feet. And she kept calling me, asking me if we'd found out anything else, And then she finally quit calling me. But
why would you, wouldn't that seem like a nice thing to do?
Yeah, but I felt that there was some underlying reason
mm-hmm.
why she kept calling. Because I think she's trying to get information. She has a sister named Jenny. And her sister Jenny friended me on MySpace. And wanted to know, she was asking me questions. And then she told me that Curtis had a brother named Michael, and that Michael lived in Waco, and that had we looked into him. She was pumping me for information, what I knew. And she told me that she didn't get along with her sister. She hadn't seen her in a long time, and they don't see eye to eye, so they don't ever... And then somebody else said, well, they just had a family reunion not long ago, and they were all there. I'm like, what? So her sister Jenny, if that's really her name, was lying to me,
mm-hmm.
trying to pump me for information. And then there were other people also that were his mom's friends that were pumping me for information on MySpace. When it first happened, I got up early every morning. They were there at 7:30, and I'd be there at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to them in the chief of police office every morning for a while. And they ask me questions and ask what I found out, and then they tell me if they have anything new, and they'll tell me that there is a person, and they won't name any names.
Mm-hmm.
But this Lisa Ann St. Clair person that was mentioned in that note, she was going with this Nash Waldrop
mm-hmm.
guy, and I think one of her babies was by him. So she, Amber's husband, James, told me that, he told me what Lisanne supposedly told Amber, and Amber felt so bad about withholding it, and she felt so bad about it that she wanted him to tell me about it, him to let me know, because if she told me, I just blame her, that, in his words. But he said that Lisanne knew something and was told what happened. Well, about the her being buried in the woods.
Oh, different story. Okay.
Yeah. So I think Lisanne probably knows something, but she's not going to tell because I think she's associated again with this Nash guy. And you she was offered...
Dark road, you better be carrying a cannon with you.
Yeah. She was...
gotten that impression out there.
Offered $1,000. I had contacted... What's that organization out of Houston?
EquiSearch.
EquiSearch.
The horse people.
Yeah. They flew up here and talked to the police department. Mm-hmm. Talked to Lisanne, offered her $1,000 for any information she might have. Went home, and the guy never would call me back again.
What?
Yeah,
never. He never called me back. I left several messages with him to find out what he found out. He never called me back. Isn't that weird?
It's so weird. They came all the way up here and they won't answer your call.
Again, we're in small town politics. Greenville police did not like for any outsiders coming in.
Yeah, I'm a little bit hesitant myself. Yeah. So, do you think that that girl took that money maybe and told them something? Or?
No.
No.
No. She refused it. She refused it, said she didn't remember because she'd been involved in this real bad accident and she lost her legs. Yeah. And so she claims that she had some brain damage too and she couldn't remember. But of course, if she said, she told me she remembered Sarah and she remembered him, her always hanging out with Curtis and them always being together. And I think that was during the period of time after Sarah ran away. Mm-hmm. So that there implicates him. You know, in some way at least.
Do you guys believe like Curtis hurt her? I mean, is that?
I think the possibility's there. I think he may have helped her OD by accident.
Yeah.
You know, but he kind of preys on younger girls.
I noticed from his.
Yeah, because that other girl was 16. The reason he's in prison, and he was, he was 24 at the time. So that's when he got in trouble with this other girl. And now the thing about that is, and you probably already know, that she ran away for a couple of weeks. This other girl, she ran away for a couple of weeks, and guess where he took her? To his grandparents' house.
Waco Bay.
Oh,
right, Waco Bay. That's like a block away from where the body supposedly would be, right?
Yes, Elmwood. That was like two blocks away, I think.
Buried is a production of 88.9 KETR-FM in Commerce, Texas, and of KETR.org. Its host and principal reporter is George Hale. Executive producer is Jared Knight, with production help from Emma Anderson. Theme music is composed and performed by Brad Davis, and cover art was designed by Crystal Sid. You can catch up on previous episodes at KETR.org/buried or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening.